Welcome to the sermon podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, Applying Biblical Truth, was preached by our lead pastor, Paul Smith, on Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. It was recorded on October 2nd, 2022, and is part of our series, God, You Want Me to Do What?
All right, good morning. Great to see you. I'm Pastor Paul Smith. I serve on the pastoral staff. If you have a copy of the word, God's Word, go to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll be in chapter 8 and a little bit in chapter 7. And I don't know if First Alliance is your home church, but make sure you have a church that teaches and preaches the scriptures faithfully. No matter who's up here, their role is to help you learn the Bible a little bit more for yourself. So Matthew chapter 8, you can use a paper copy or phone, iPad, however you want to do it. But great to see you this morning. And so our vision is that we would reach as many people as possible without ever sacrificing biblical muscle. And so that's one of our values. Another thing we desire as a church is for the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way. And so one of the things we do is we pray. So on Monday night from 6:45 to 7:45 here in the sanctuary, I lead a time called Verticals where we pray to God and ask him to do what only he can do. And this Monday, we'll focus on all the things that are happening in Florida. And so we want to pray for the many people that have been devastated by that, and just the dozens of churches that have been affected by that. And then also, if you're here today and, you know, your soul is hungry for God or something has come into your life that is just like, I need to pray with somebody. It doesn't have to do anything with the message. After the service, there will be a prayer team up front and they'll simply ask you a question. How can I pray for you? And so if you're like me, my soul is hungry for God in these day and age. And we are so blessed with all of God's blessings, but it is all of the things of this world are kind of like cotton candy for the soul. And so we were created to know God, and sometimes we need the people of God and to pray with the people of God for that to be a reality. One other thing is you'll see a lot of slides behind me. And if you've noticed, I use a few slides when I preach. And so all of my slides, all the quotes from this message and every other message that's happened are on our website, faclex.com. And so if there's a statement, if there's a quote that you just can't get because of speed or something like that, it's going too fast, just go to the website. All of them are there. And so don't try to take notes. You'll get a cramp in your hand. Just take note of one or two things that God says to you, okay, this morning. Well, we're going to start a series called God, You Want Me to Do What? God, You Want Me to Do What? And I'm going to introduce the series and then just kind of flesh this out today. So glad you're here. Well, let me pray. So dear Jesus, you are the King. You are great and glorious. And we want to stay very God-focused in our time today because we want to be God-focused and Godward with our life. And so you have blessed us much. And so we want to be found faithful. As we've prayed before, but we desire it again today. Holy Spirit, teach us what we do not know. Christ, heal the wounds that we have that no one sees. And Father, do in us what only you can do, which is produce the character of Christ in our hearts. And the church said together, amen. God, you want me to do what? And this will be our series in October. And here's why we are having this series. And this series will be excessively practical in nature. If you were to review some of our preaching series that we've had in the summer and then in the early fall, in the summer, we did a series called Stay in Beauty, and we looked at 13 churches in the New Testament and dove deep into each one of those churches, that what God would have for us as we kind of unpacked the reality of those churches and the message to each one of those churches. That was a very deep study. And we just finished an 8-week series called Jesus Is, as we unpacked several passages in the Gospel of Luke and kind of some unique pictures of who Jesus is and how we are called to worship him. So these were biblically heavy messages, and that's good. I love those kind of messages. But here's what I know and what I see in the Gospels and all throughout the Bible, and it's this. In the Bible, or in the Gospels, revelation is always followed by a call to response. Is that if we have seen Jesus and God in a grand and whole new way, one of the things that we see over and over is that when God reveals himself, he calls for a response. You cannot be the same. We see this in the Old Testament. God reveals his power to the nation of Israel by freeing them from the nation of Egypt. There's a response. Follow me into the promised land. I want to be your God. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, the power and the greatness of Jesus. There's a response. Follow me. Come to me on the water. The disciples and many others see the resurrected Jesus. There's a response. Now go into all the world and preaching the gospel. If you've seen any in grandeur and greatness of Jesus in these last few weeks, one, it's by God's grace and the revelation of the Holy Spirit, but also know that there's a call to response, that we cannot be the same. I mean, the biblical picture is never when God reveals himself is that we say, oh, that's nice, that's good, and go on. No. There's got to be, we've got to live differently. And the five things that we're going to focus on are things that God calls us to that we can invest in, that we can grow our relationship with God. You see, one of the things that God's up to right now is that he will reveal himself, is that you grow in your faith, mature in your faith, is that you trust him more and more. Now, as I've studied spiritual growth, and I've read so much about it, people like Henry Cloud, Lou Giglio, Rob Reamer, and as I've my own journey, I've noticed five things that God uses in a life to help people grow in their faith. And these are things that you can apply in your life no matter where you're at. Apply in your life, do them in your life for sake of growing in your faith and your relationship with God. Now, here are the five things. The first one is this, is you can apply biblical teaching. You can apply biblical teaching. And this will be I'll talk about this today. But one of the things I know in everybody's life, if they're wanting to grow in their relationship with God, is there will come a time in your life where you have to go beyond just the norm of what everybody else is doing in Christianity, is that you'll get in the scriptures and all of a sudden some passage, some command, some promise stands out to you and you say, I can't shake that. I have to apply that and it'll be risky. You'll step out. You will not be the same. But when we step out and we just don't know biblical truth, but we apply biblical truth, our lives and many other lives are never the same. That's the first one we'll talk about today. The second one is this, is you got to make room for relationships. God wants you to apply biblical truth, but then he wants you to make room for relationships. If you hear someone's story, more than likely, they met an individual, they were mentored, they were in a small group, and all of a sudden, their life came kind of in the crosshairs with another individual, and they began to grow spiritually in a way they never expected. That God uses the scriptures, he uses worship, but he also uses relationships, pivotal relationships, to grow our faith. The third one is this, is private disciplines, private spiritual disciplines. You see, you have a public life and a private life, and Jesus had a public life and he had a private life. The way that Jesus was effective in his public ministry is he was faithful in his private disciplines. And there's something about us is that we can sometimes think that we can kind of fulfill God's will and know God's ways when the pressure's on and forsake those private spiritual disciplines, and we just can't. If Jesus took time to be with the Father in prayer, we will have to also. And fourth one is this, is you got to help others. Is that God has given you gifts and abilities. There's passions of your hearts. There's desires that you have for change. And when you act on those, step out, help others, all of a sudden you begin to grow. And here's the last one. It's this, is you gotta grow in difficult circumstances. We will see that nothing shows the value of Jesus in a life is when individuals hold on to Jesus, trust Jesus, obey Jesus when things are not ideal and circumstances are not what they want. Nothing shows the value of Jesus to a life, to other people, is when you grow in difficult circumstances. So this is what we're going to be looking at in the upcoming week. We'll look at apply biblical truth today, but you've got to actually kind of ask this question. Am I just growing in knowledge? Or am I actually growing in my faith? Am I actually growing in my relationship with Jesus? Because it's really easy to just say, I'm growing in knowledge and be content with that and not grow in your relationship with the Lord. Because this is what I know. God uses these five things consistently to grow our trust and faith in him. And our relationship with God is all about trusting him, believing him, taking him at his word. Because here's why. You see, Originally, our relationship with God was broken by a lack of trust. The enemy got in, got us to doubt God. God really can't be trusted. You've got to take matters into your own hands. And when they failed to trust God, everything went cattywampus. You understand. After that, God has been working over and over to rebuild and reestablish the relationship of trust and faith. I put it like this, but now the relationship is reestablished and restored by trust. And any relationship in your life that is really great, it is a relationship that you cherish. At the core of it is trust. And so it is with our relationship with God. And God's wanting you to grow in your trust of him, your belief in him. So when situations come, you're not kind of knocked over. And situations come, you don't panic. You say, you know, I know God's got this. You're not dealing with reality. You're facing reality, but you're facing it with a trust and belief in God. You see, God wants to partner with you with your desires to make you a person of strong and mature faith. He wants to partner with you. He's working in your life, every situation, to grow your faith and trust in him. Now, faith is absolutely critical, and there's some things that we can do. We have to do to grow our faith and mature in our faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please whom? God. Trusting him, believing him, is what pleases him. And if you're a Christian this morning, you knew that there was a time when you saw your own sin, you saw that you needed a savior, and you put faith in Jesus Christ. That was that one time, that was that moment of decision, and you were born again. But it doesn't stop there. From that point on, you keep growing and trusting and believing God in every situation. It's not like you take, you know, life into your own hands. My wife and I have a saying, and it's this: it's the choices you make after you make the choice that matters most. And if you've made the choice to trust Jesus, it's the choices from then on that matter most. You continue to trust Jesus with all of the issues and circumstances of your life. Jesus said this in Matthew 9, according to your faith, be it unto you. In 2 Thessalonians verses 1 through 3, Paul said this to a church: we thank God for you, brothers and sisters, because your faith is growing more and more. Faith can grow. Now, if you're like me, it's not like you have no faith. In certain circumstances, you realize you have underdeveloped faith. You have small faith. You see, Jesus was talking about worry in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this: if that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which are here today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little what? Faith. You of little faith. Not no faith, but little faith, underdeveloped faith. Peter was walking on the water. Remember that? And all of a sudden, he sees the wind of the waves and he begins to sink. Look at what Jesus says. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him and said, oh, you of little what? Faith. Why did you doubt? Not no faith, but little faith. Circumstances, issues, trials, difficulties will come into our lives, and God will reveal to you, that's an area that I want to develop faith in you, trust in you. Now, what are these right here? These are what? Dumbbells, barbells. Okay, well, a little bit of vulnerability. I turned 50 not too long ago, and I realized, okay, muscles are not going to grow all by themselves. So I thought, okay, I've got to do something to get my body physically stronger. So I started to lift weights about 6 weeks ago. And in lifting weights, it verified what I've thought all along. Weights are so heavy. I'm like, why would anybody ever do this? My arms hurt. I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, you can't, there's not enough ibuprofen in the world to deal with this pain. But I'm like, okay. I'm just gonna folding in on myself. I've got to do something. I'm 50 now. Okay, and I've always had strong legs, and I've never had a strong upper body. So I knew it was time. I had to go to the bench press, okay? And literally, I only could throw up 60 pounds, and I'm embarrassed. I'm just like, I just need to stop. I just absolutely need to stop. And eventually, I got through up 80 pounds. It took everything in me to throw up, I literally almost threw up afterwards, but to put up 80 pounds, okay? Literally, this young gal comes up after me, takes it from like 80 pounds to 140 pounds, and she's like this, looking at me. I'm like, stop, just stop, just stop. Now, here's the thing. It's not like I had no biceps. They're there, really. They're just underdeveloped biceps. And here's the faith is like a muscle. It's not like you have no faith. But if you don't do things to develop your faith, I don't care how much you sing. I don't care how much you attend. You've got to do things that you can in your life to build your faith and confidence and trust in God. God is after you growing in faith and trust in him. And here's what I want you to know. God wants to partner with you. He's not random in your life in his desire to make you a person of strong and mature faith. Physical growth comes automatically. Spiritual growth has to happen intentionally. And there are events that will come into our lives that will reveal to us, I've got to grow here. God loves me enough to grow me in this area because he wants something in my life for me to be a strong and mature, healthy person in my faith. Now, there's an example in the Old Testament, or not Old Testament, New Testament, of Jesus where he's actually amazed. Many people got amazed at Jesus. This is where the first time he gets amazed at somebody else, and it's the faith of the centurion. Look at the verse 5 of Matthew chapter 8, and then we'll go over to Matthew 7. It says this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asked for help. So evidently, he's learning about Jesus, watching Jesus. He sees something about Jesus that calls him to reach out for Jesus. Lord, he said, my servant lies paralyzed and is in terrible suffering. There's the situation. And Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. Now watch what happens. Then the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come over under my roof, but just as say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself as a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one to come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. So all of a sudden, the centurion puts two and two together. He realizes that the reason he has the ability to tell people what to do is who he represents and the power that he's been entrusted with because he's trustworthy. And he says, just as I have the ability to tell soldiers what to do, you have the ability to tell sickness and evil what to do because of who you represent, which is God, and that which has been entrusted to you by God because you have shown yourself trustworthy. All you have to do is say the word. And look at what Jesus says in verse 10. And then when Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great what? Faith. He's like, look at this. Notice this. This is what I'm after. Somebody who sees who I am and bears who I am on their situation. And then he says, don't trust anything else than me. Look at what he says in verse 11. I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west. Those are the Gentiles and will take their place at the feast of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown out into darkness, while they be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done for you as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. Now, the point is what happens. Sometimes the healing happens, sometimes it doesn't. But the point is that anybody, even a Roman centurion, can have mature, strong faith. And so no one should say, that's not me. If anybody wants to grow in their faith and grow in trusting Jesus, in the relationship with Jesus, it's available to everybody. But one of the things we need to know is that this faith is simply a matter of focusing on Jesus so steadily that our circumstances cannot cause us to lose perspective. That whatever circumstance you're in, whatever situation you're in, you know that God loves you, Jesus loves you, he's for you, his power is greater. So I'm just gonna trust him. I'm just gonna simply believe him. I'm simply gonna obey him. And this circumstance cannot knock me off of my faithfulness to Jesus as my Lord. Now today, This is what we know, is that God wants to partner with you in his desire to make you a person of strong and mature faith. How strong of a desire is that in you to be a person of strong faith? Because it's God's desire for you. Now, the five things will this: apply biblical teaching, make room for relationships, practice spiritual disciplines, help others, and grow in difficult circumstances. So with the time I have left, real quickly, apply biblical teaching. Apply biblical teaching. Why is this? This is a passion of mine, and here's why. One of the reasons. Two people were obviously having a very difficult time in a relationship. And there was a lot of friction. And I said, how are you practicing Ephesians 4, which says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling, being completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love, keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Tell me how you're practicing that. And they say, well, we don't. I just want this person to change. I said, well, I think we found the problem here. And I think there are situations and circumstances that we can avoid or grow from if we'd simply apply what Jesus tells us to do. Some of us are just growing in knowledge and we're not growing in application, and we're having circumstances that we don't need to have. Because here's what I want you to know. It's this: biblical truth is like paint. For it to be of value and make a difference, it must be applied. It must be applied. That's what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The very end, go to verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus has just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and then he kind of comes to the crux of the issue, greatest sermon that's ever been preached, and he says this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into what? Practice. You've got to put them into practice. He is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. It's not enough just to agree with me, he says. You've got to apply this to your life. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. There's the security in Jesus's teachings. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And simply this: you want to be wise? You got to apply the teachings of Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you an illustrative drawing here that when I saw this, it very much changed my life, and I've gone back to this over and over and over. And it's kind of one of the things that guides my life. Okay, when it comes to the role of the Bible in your life and how to think about it. Okay, so here you are. Once again, you are the international sign for bathroom. Okay, there you are. And so now every person in this room tethers their life to something. It's means an object outside of themselves that they put faith in and trust in and hope in. Okay, and it's best if you're cognitive of it. Okay, so this is some, and you're tethering your life in hope to something. Sometimes it's our feelings. I'm guided by my feelings. You will get, let's put a question mark there. You will get in your life what your feelings can provide for you. Sometimes we'll say family. The greatest thing of value in my life is family. Great blessing from God, but my object of trust and hope is my family. You will get what your family can provide for you. And I've seen it dozens of times. They invest in kids and kids move away, and all of a sudden, this thing that they've tethered to is just not, doesn't provide the way it used to. Sometimes it's finances. We live in a world where your value's determined by your portfolio. You will get what finances can bring to you. Sometimes it's fads. You know, this fad. No, it doesn't need to start with F. It can start with something else, okay? And I'm just on a roll there. And but you're tethering your life to something. And so you've got to say, what am I truly believing in? Is it an individual? You were designed to tether your life to God's word. This goes all the way back to creation, is that God spoke to Adam and Eve how they are to live. And it's one of the things you read in the book of Genesis. There's needs four things. Am I doing that? Four things to thrive as a human being. You need rest. They were created in a garden. You need relationships. Adam needed Eve. You need responsibilities. You name all the animals. And you need restraint. Those are the four things. That if you have those things, you will thrive. Now, this is what God's word brings to your life. When you're in God's word, you begin to hear God's ways, and it's completely uneven, but that's okay. I'm a communicator, not a drawer. And so you clearly begin to see there's no's and there's yeses. God in his infinite wisdom has said, I've created you in such a way, these are out of bounds for you, clearly. And it's a great blessing is when you realize in God's boundaries, blessings are found in boundaries, okay? You don't have to pray about, do I stay faithful to my spouse? You just know that faithfulness to your spouse is a yes, unfaithfulness is a no. You don't have to pray about, do I steal someone else's property? Thankfully, God has made it clear that stealing someone's property, that's a no. You know, being content with what you have, that's a yes. Okay, this is what our kids need to learn. Now, here's another thing. How do you navigate all the yeses? How do you navigate the yes? Okay, one of the things is that you will see is that when you're tethered to God's word, you begin to hear. Who do you think? Anybody? Holy Spirit, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, all of a sudden, you begin to hear the gift of the Holy Spirit. God says, I will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit never contradicts what? God's word. And the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, lives in you, it will illuminate God's word in such a way to where it knows the beginning of your day and the end of the day, and will give you exactly what you need for that day, for you or for someone else. All of a sudden, the role of the Holy Spirit just comes alive when you stay in God's word, and the Holy Spirit will never contradict. In fact, it'll often affirm and guide in God's word. Now, there's another thing which you will have, and it's this. It's a renewed mind. You live in a world of deception. You live in a world of lies. And the more I'm in the Bible, the more I'm able to think the mind of Christ. The more I'm able to see what's truly valuable, the more I'm able to see how I'm supposed to live. Now, there's another thing. There's been times I've sought to hear the Holy Spirit, and he stayed absolutely quiet. What do you do when you want to hear direction from God, and yet he's silent? Do you know what I did? I was in God's word, and I lived out faithfully the best I could. What it says in Malachi, love justice, do kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Until I heard from God specifically, I practiced the principles of God from God's word. Here's the last one God gives you. It's wise counsel. Is that God will give you relationships that are in God's word to help you guide you. How do you navigate the yes? Now, here's the thing. We can think that God is always, it's no until I say go. But if you are faithful and mature in these, all of a sudden I've seen a switch in people's lives where they're so in tune with the mind of God, so in tune with the Spirit of God. It's not restraint, but their lives are more so go until you hear no. That I'm working in you and you have my heart and you trust until I stop you. This way the Apostle Paul was. He's like, he knew God's mind was to take the gospel into the ends of the earth. But then when God closed, so he just knew that that's what God's desires was, but God closed the door. He said, nope, don't go there. It's not restraint. There's this sense of God, I just know your mind and your heart. And so there's this great amount of freedom that you have, but you've got to tether your life to God's word. And the amount of time that you're opening God's word will reveal to you how much you're tethered to God's word. It's got to be more than me on Sunday. So here's the thing. I just think, how do we do that? Okay, for some of us, here's either use your phone or put it away entirely. When you open the scriptures, there's a lot of apps that you can use to help you in God's word to understand it. Or it's best just to put it away entirely. There's a lot of studies on how our phone is changing how we're thinking and how we're seeing, and some it's very helpful, but also it can be tremendously distracting. Here's another thing, not in a day, but daily. You've got to be in God's word. Don't expect it to be overnight, but as you commit to it daily, you will see change in the way you're thinking, the way you're handling situations, the way you're responding to relationships. And the last one's this, don't go it alone. Do you have a relationship in your life to where somebody can ask you and you don't get weirded out, what are you learning in your devotions? What is God teaching you from the scriptures? What are you hearing God say to you? You've got to have a relationship that gets that deep. Now, here's a picture. Why is this significant? Well, there I am at the weight bench, and here it comes, the bench press. And I'm dreading it again because there's like, you know, I'm. Why can't people just go away when I do this, okay? But they're all there. And so I've gone from like 60 pounds to 80 pounds, okay? And I'm like, okay, I'm making progress. This is encouraging. So I put it in the weight thing, and all of a sudden, it's just like, I'm like, oh my word, it's so heavy. And I'm like, oh, 3, 4, 10, 11, 12. Like, oh, am I getting weaker? This is not what's supposed to happen. And I looked over, and I'd accidentally put it to 100 pounds. Yeah. And I am so excited. I took a picture, sent it to my wife, got the guy. I didn't know. I'm like, 100 pounds, 100 pounds. And that girl came and did 140 pounds. I'm like, that's fine. And then I heard this word that said, don't compare yourself. And I was like, You know what? I'm going to celebrate. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. Don't compare yourself. But little by little, you will see growth. And the situations that you caved under a month ago, I'm just trusting God with. I'm just believing God with. And the world will take notice. You see, God wants to partner with you in his desire to make you a person of strong and mature faith. Will you partner with him? Sometimes partnering with him is simple. It's like, hey, I've just got to say a prayer. I've given up. I'm just kind of coasting and I need to repent of that or something. There's an issue inside. Maybe sin is tripping you up and you need to confess that to somebody and get back on track, you know his forgiveness. We'd love to pray with you. Or maybe you're just saying, you know, I want to grow and I want someone to can say that right now to somebody. We'd love to pray with you this morning. So let's stand together for worship. Jesus, we thank you that you are so patient with us and you love us. And we thank you that you stepped into our world when we were sinners and you rescued us. And you just give us a lot of religious things to do. But the end goal in all of this is a greater relationship with you. I thank you that you are faithful. And I thank you that you are present. And this we rejoice, and the church said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.